Let's read together John chapter 12, verses 35 through 43. In these verses, we see the Lord Jesus urging the people to escape from the darkness and come to the light, because there would come a time when they would not be able to respond to the light. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart, lest they should turn so that I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. First of all, a few background notes. In verse 35, we read, "Then Jesus said to them," and in verse 37 we read, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him." Who is the them here? Who is the Lord speaking to anyway? These would be the crowds in the temple area during Passover time. Remember, this is the last week of our Lord's earthly ministry, and it is Passover time in Jerusalem. Many of these pilgrims had come from Galilee and had seen his miracles there. Some of these people had seen the raising of Lazarus from the dead not too long before this time at nearby Bethany. We read about that in John chapter 11. Many of them had welcomed the Lord into Jerusalem at the beginning of this last week at the triumphal entry. But most of these people did not believe in him. Verse 37 once again, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him." He was not the political Messiah they were looking for. And even concerning those who did believe in him, there was the question of whether it was true faith or not. Verse 42, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." The rulers here would be members of the Sanhedrin, the governing body of the Jews. For most of these believers, it was not true faith. There was a commitment of the head to the Lord, but no commitment of the heart to the Lord. For some of these rulers, however, it was true faith. We know from Scripture that both Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, members of the Sanhedrin, were true believers. They did not confess the Lord openly at first, but they did after the crucifixion. We read in John chapter 19, verses 38 through 40. "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury." Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are no longer secret believers. Now, one more background note. In this section of John 12, John quotes from Isaiah, and in verse 41, he says, "These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him." John is referring here to Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah had the magnificent vision, you remember, of the glory and holiness of God. But notice in the context, John applies this to Christ. "These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory," that is, when he saw Christ's glory, "and spoke of him," that is, spoke of Christ. For John, the Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah or Yahweh of the Old Testament. Jesus is God. Now, this is a good scripture to show the Jehovah Witnesses and anyone else who doubts that the New Testament teaches the deity of Christ. Next time a Jehovah's Witness comes knocking on your door, asked them if they believed the same as the Apostle John. And when they say yes, turn them to this verse. What a tremendous proof for the deity of Christ. John 12:41. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Let's move on to doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one. Acceptance of the light brings more light. Acceptance of the light brings more light. Verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Throughout the Gospel of John, light and darkness are contrasted. In fact, this is one of the themes of the Gospel of John. The light over the darkness. You remember John chapter 1 and verse 5. "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or apprehend it." Now, of course, John is not referring to physical light and physical darkness, but rather to moral light and moral darkness. Moral light is goodness and righteousness and truth, and it is centered and focused in Christ, who is the light of the world. So the Lord is referring to himself when he says, here in verse 35, "A little while longer the light is with you." And in verse 36, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Now notice what the result is if you believe the light. You will become sons of light. That is characterized by goodness, righteousness, and truth. You will not only become Christians, but you will become more Christ-like. Acceptance of the light brings more light. This is a biblical truth. Acceptance of the light brings more light. This principle is true for unbelievers as well as believers. If unbelievers will respond to the light that God gives them, God makes himself responsible to give more light to that person. God has given every person a moral conscience as well as the light of general revelation. Creation all around us, humans, are responsible to respond to that light and not turn away. And when people respond to that light, God gives more light. Acceptance of the light brings more light. I think the wise men are a good illustration of this principle. The wise men responded to the little light that they had, and God led them to Jerusalem by a star. Here they received more light, the light of the scriptures. Yes, the king had been born and was in Bethlehem. They responded to this light of special revelation, the scriptures as well as the star, and they were led to the Savior. Acceptance of the light brings more light. This principle certainly applies to believers. We have become children of light or sons of light, but we need to walk in the light to receive more light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord." Note the description of what moral light is all about there in verse 9. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Do we want more light so that we can prove what is acceptable to the Lord? Then we must walk as children of light. Acceptance of the light brings more light. Doctrinal point number two. Rejection of the light brings further darkness. Rejection of the light brings further darkness. Verse 35, once again. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." If a person turns away from the light, the darkness overtakes him and he loses all direction. Illustration. Some years ago, I was driving a van load of teenagers back to Chicago from a winter retreat in Colorado. A snowstorm was predicted, but we were quite sure that we could outrace the storm. We made it down out of the mountains to Denver on dry pavement. But then we made a wrong choice. Everyone wanted to stop and eat. Okay, we'll stop and eat, but let's not take long. The snowstorm is coming. Well, that was a bad choice. Did you ever make a quick eating stop with a van of teenagers? No way. Impossible. By the time we got back on the road, it was snowing hard. The storm completely overtook us in Nebraska. We spent the night in the National Guard Armory of North Platte, Nebraska. We chose to delay. We made a bad choice. We were overtaken by the storm. In the same way, when people choose to ignore the light or delay their choice, the darkness overtakes them. Verse 35 again, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. John quotes two scriptures from Isaiah here. The first is Isaiah 53, verse 1, in verse 38. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The obvious answer to this question is very few, not too many. Why? Because they have turned away. They have rejected the light. Then John quotes Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart, lest they should turn so that I should heal them. Now that doesn't sound very nice, does it? What's the point that Isaiah was making? What's the point that John is making? The point is, rejection of the light brings further darkness. God's purpose is not to blind people or harden people, but rejection of the light brings further darkness. If people will not believe, they cannot believe. That's the way it works. When a person turns away from the light, a hardening process sets in. God hardened Pharaoh's heart because Pharaoh willed to harden his own heart. If you're here this morning and don't know the Lord, don't delay. Don't think you can put it off and decide later. Rejection of the light brings further darkness. What about practical application? Practical application number one. There is a time for us to hide. There is a time for us to hide. Verse 36. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. The Lord Jesus took himself out of the danger zone temporarily. Also, the Lord wanted to spend some time with his disciples. There were only a few days left. And so he withdrew and hid from the public. There is a time for us to hide. I remember when our children were growing up, it was very hard for us to have family devotions at times because the phone was always ringing. So what did we do? We took the phone off the hook. And this was before the days of answering machines. Some of these calls, I'm sure, were important. But there is a time for us to hide. Practical application number two. There is a time for us not to hide. There is a time for us not to hide. Verses 42 and 43 once again. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Are we secret believers? Do we hide our testimony because we love the praise of men rather than the praise of God? Or because we don't want to be ostracized from certain groups like the people we work with or our neighbors? Are you willing to put a gospel text on your desk at work? Are you willing to read a Bible in a public place? There is a time for us not to hide.